Blog Talk Radio. And this is May speaking to you from New York. And where's my girl in Tennessee? Are you you're out there?
I'm
Cynthia?
Here. Yeah,
I know.
I'm battening
in the path
down the hatches because we're getting the tail end of Sir Harvey. Thank you very much. And we're going to get a lot of rain of certainly nothing. You know, like the devastating effects
of. Oh no! I know.
This monster storm. And, you know, and one thing I got to say, May, now, you know, I'm a great animal lover and everybody's concerned about the animals, but I watched a horrifying video this morning. And you know, I have horses, of a dude holding onto a rope, jumping into a moving area of water to rescue a horse. Okay. It's like, I understand it because I'm an animal lover, but now someone else would have to jump in to rescue you. You know, it's,
right,
it's
you got to look. I understand where you're going with this. You just have to know what's the safest. You know, it's the chicken or the egg type of thing, and you know what comes first. So if you go in and rescue and you can't get out either, that's not a good thing either way. People can go and I want them to you know donate. They need the help down there. This is not a hoax or anything else. And you know people have this tendency like, well, I don't know. Maybe it's a hoax. What you could do is the Red Cross is a great place to go and say you want it for Harvey because they do have it set up, and I've already donated. And then they also have that guy, J.J. Watts, who did a crowdfunding type of thing, and he started it, and he's legit. And he put in $100,000. This is on, you know, the fundraiser. You could look it up, J.J. Watts, and they'll take you to his site. But he put in $100,000, he said to everybody that was on there, he goes, hey, listen, you know, try and match me. Within 2 hours, it was matched. And then it kept going. And it's only, been 2 days? If at that, he's already, the challenge is now, he kept raising the bar, and it's now at $10 million. That's how many people have responded. So,
and the financial aid is really what's needed most. You know, it's like, don't get in your car and drag your boat down there. I mean, I have friends down there that work for the power company here in my little burg, and they're down there now trying to restore electricity and everything. Let the responders get in and do their job. Donate financially, because that's what these people are going to need.
Well, I know that, but they have been asking also if there's any help, because they still need people to try and find people. That's the thing. They have been calling out for other help to come along the way, because they do need people to go out. There are thousands, and especially like in the areas of Beaumont and Port Arthur, they don't have enough people to help drag them out of the houses. So, but either way,
I'm just saying, don't make yourself an impediment to the responders.
Right.
You know, go to an organized area and register and get yourself, you know, so that people know you're out there too.
Exactly.
You know, because
if you're going to go, make sure that they know you're down there. Don't just say, oh, I think I'll just go out and do it without knowing. Just go and register yourself in there. You know, my girlfriend who does work every so often, she's an actress, Judy Graff, and she said, I wrote to her and said, are you ready to go down? Because she does work, she videotapes and does things for FEMA. And she says, I'm just waiting. So they got to also wait before they can do anything.
Oh,
too.
Yeah,
they
the aftermath is going to be the big disaster, because when the water recedes, they're going to find a lot of things that they wish they
hadn't found.
And that,
I know.
Yeah.
And that's why it's going to be.
Yeah.
Please go out and donate.
But if you can contribute $5, if you contribute $1, just get it on there, and let's get some aid to these people, and let's, you know, cross our fingers that Harvey is going to give up, you know, and go away.
Like I said, J.J. Watt, when he they said, you know, forget about his football, forget about everything. He goes, what he's going to be known for is what he just raised for everybody here down in Houston and all that whole Texas area, because that's his team, that's where he's home. And so he's been doing an amazing job. So is some of the actors, you know, directly, you know, like Kevin Hart has done it, has opened up, you know, mm-hmm. everybody just donate. And they said, he said that the most money is not coming from the people with, like, you know, there's a, been a couple that big money donors, but they've been from the small people, little people mm-hmm. in the way, you know, when they call it, it's the $5 and $10 and 20, they add up. So go out and donate, please. They need help.
Well, you know,
anyway.
I mean, you know that my farm was 9 feet underwater when we had a big flood here in Nashville. Water is ferocious. It is not to be taken lightly. And, well, our guests, we were just talking, the three of us actually live on islands. You know, it's like, you know, I'll be marooned here for 2 days, but that's all right, girls. I got my wine. I got my chips. I'm good. So, you know, we're really glad to be welcoming back our guest because she is one of what we like to refer to as our great broads, you know, women who actually make a dent in the entertainment business. She's a member of one of the most famous musical families in America. And without further ado, let's welcome back Sister Kate Taylor. Welcome, Kate.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi, gals. How's it going over there? I tell you, thank you so much for your, you know, what you were just talking about the floods and the water and the and Harvey and the needs that those that the folks down there in Texas are going to have coming up. It's going to take a while to get over this. And thank goodness that we can all do something. You know, a little bit goes a long way.
Absolutely. That's what I
said.
So,
yeah, we are surrounded by water. I think that's kind of amazing that we're all on one kind of, on or near a lot of water. And I'm on the vineyard right now, and but I've got to tell you, I'm heading to Los Angeles next week. I'm going for got 5 dates out there, 3 of which are with the Peter Asher, Albert Lee show.
Yes.
Santa Monica at McCabe's.
At McCabe's, cool.
And I've seen the Peter and Albert show. It's fabulous. You know how Peter was doing this kind of memoir show?
Correct,
And now he's been doing a kind of a duo show with Albert, and the two of them tell stories about these two Brits, you know. I mean, they're hilarious, telling you, and they're darling, and telling you stories about you know, the different aspects of their musical lives, and they've both been in situations where their fingers were on the pulse of that music. And Peter
right.
has a great story about.
Oh, I know he does. You know, I saw them the first time they performed together when they were opening up for what was it, Jerry Lee Lewis in
no.
England. I was in England because all of a sudden I see Albert Lee was opening up for him, and it was, I believe it was Jerry Lee Lewis's 80th birthday at the Palladium.
Oh, my God.
And all of a sudden Peter was on the bill. So the two of them were performing, not the big show, obviously. So I saw, I guess, at the very beginning of what was going to be what it is now, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah. So they've been last summer, I think they toured. Last spring they toured in England and the UK, and they've been working a lot around the US, and it's nice. People love to hear those stories, and you know, the two of them have some really great insider details. They were telling me, Peter was tells a story about how, well, Paul McCartney lived at his house when the Beatles were just starting, and so Peter was telling me that Paul and John were down in the basement in Peter's mother's music studio because she taught oboe, apparently.
Right.
Anyway, so she had this music studio down at the bottom in the basement of their house, and Paul and John were writing songs down there, and they called up to Peter on the third floor, Peter, come down here. And he went down. They played him I Want to Hold Your Hand for the first time. Man. Love that song.
Wow. I know.
I mean, you know, teenage 12-year-old. I have somewhere in my flurry and blizzard of papers and photographs and things, I have a picture that I took of the television set when the Beatles were on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I've got to find that picture.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that
you
Kodak picture. You know, I oh, my God. Anyway.
And everybody knows, I mean, you come from this family, you and the boys. And
the boys.
You were all musicians. Is this something that your parents started you doing, or was it just something you all got interested in?
Well, I'm not sure, you know, what the influences were, but we were raised up in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and there was a lot of great music that was coming through that town. It's a university town, and there was a lot of music just in the countryside around there, bluegrass and, you know, country, Appalachian folk and gospel. And then there was, you know, of course, the rock and roll of the day and R&B and the blues. And we just were immersed in that. But also, I think that generationally, there was so much to discuss. You know, it was during the Vietnam War, and we lived in this golden era where we were communicating with each other nationwide, you know, with the music. And then our parents were very interested in providing for us musical instruction if we wanted it, and we had a lot of music in the house. You know, there were lots of different types of music that was being played on the radio and on the record player. And I think we just kind of, you know, gravitated towards it. And of course, you know, when you listen to the music of my brother James and Livingston, they're truly masterful, you know, musicians.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, besides the fact that they make beautiful music and wonderful lyrics and you know, they really are excellent on their instruments, and they always have been. You know, like the minute they picked up the guitar, they played like they were, you know, born to do it. And
it's
brother
genetic,
Alex,
Kate. It's genetic. It's genetic. I mean, obviously, I did not grow up in a musical family because truly none of my brothers and sisters play instruments. So, I mean, our lack of musical talent is a tribute to your genes. It's like, I just wonder, like, it's almost kind of like you guys, we are good friends with the Cowsills, you know, and of course, their story was what was the impetus for the Partridge Family. And it's almost like, you guys had the same situation. You know,
well,
here you are, the only girl
with all these boys. I love those guys, by the way. I met them for the first time at this Tommy James show that I participated in.
Two months ago.
The Cowsills, well, three of them, and I sang with Tommy James on this 50th anniversary concert that he did in Jersey. Because he's celebrating 50 years in the music business. You know,
right.
I think he's probably been in the music business longer than that. But anyway,
I know Tommy and I've talked about that.
The cows are adorable, and I think there was just something about. I mean, maybe it is there's a strong part of it is that genetic component where it
has to be.
We're all just our mother was a singer. And she studied voice in Boston after high school, and that's where she met our dad, who was in medical school there. And so they, you know, got together, and she kind of let go of any kind of musical career that she had been thinking of when she started to have her family, namely us. And but goodness gracious, I think musically, you know, a lot of the genetic material, you know, that contributed to our musicality came from her. But I think our father, who was a scientist and a you know, academic, he also had the soul of a poet. And I think
the
if he had gone in, No, yeah, storytelling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So here, there, you know, and now look what, and now not only my generation, but now we have this generation that's coming up, and they are there are some extraordinary songwriters and singers and guitar players in that bunch.
Yes.
Wow.
My,
yeah.
my,
so the beat,
you know, James,
the beat goes on.
Beat on. It's like a, it's like a disease that we're spreading.
Oh,
oh man, but it's fun. You know, so I'm going out to, I'll be in New York. I'm going to be at the Cutting Room on September 27.
Okay.
And then I got a call from an agent in Chicago who wanted to put together. He wanted to know if I wanted to consider doing a tour of shows. That were focused, you know, he wants to, he thought, he suggested we call it Sister Kate Revisited. And in 71, I had put out this Sister Kate record, and he thought it might be nice to focus on that record and do songs from then. And so we're doing, we've probably got, well, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 dates this in November. That are focused on the Sister Kate album.
Well, that's cool. Oh, that'll be great. Are you kidding?
Yeah. So the beat goes on. I'll be in. We'll be in Cleveland and Philly, Norfolk, Connecticut, near Boston, New Hope, Pennsylvania.
Right.
I don't know. We'll just see how that goes.
Who's in your band now?
I mean,
who's in your band?
Yeah.
Well, I mostly work with a couple of guys. Steve Mayone plays guitar, wonderful guitarist from Brooklyn. And my friend Sam Zucchini, who plays percussion.
Right, I know Sam, yes.
You know Sam, you remember Sam.
Yeah.
So we, it's pretty much the three of us, although some of these dates it'll just be me and Steve, and others of them it'll be me, Sam, Steve, and Sam. And then I'm going to be in Los Angeles. I've been working with one of the guys that works with Peter. His name is Jeff Allen Ross, and
of
he's
course,
a keyboard
yeah.
player, but he also plays guitar, and he sings beautifully. So, you know, he's going to be with me when I do the shows out there.
Yeah, he's like the music director for Peter when he does his show. So,
right.
yeah, great
right.
guy. Great, great,
great
musician.
Guy, really talented,
yes.
And I've worked with him a lot, and, you know, I'm such a lucky gal. I've worked with these incredible players, it's been fun.
I
just
know.
Posted
well,
on my Facebook.
So when's the
I'm
Kate
sorry.
Taylor book coming out? When? I mean, Kate, you've got to journal this stuff. You've got to.
Oh.
Are you?
Well, you know, that's you're the second person this week that has asked me about the book, and. A friend of mine a few years ago asked me if I would consider writing down, you know, some of these stories, and I thought, well, you know what, I'll just start by writing a few things down. And the very first thing I wrote down was, I got a call from Peter Asher, and it's about when I met Peter with James when James was recording at Apple and Peter was his producer. And I went over, he was in London, and I went over to visit. And James introduced me to Peter, and we were probably there for about 3 weeks. It seemed like a long time. We were in London together, and I met Peter. I went out to his country house. James and I sang in the bottom of this empty, ancient swimming pool. And then I went back home, and then within a month, Peter called me. He says, you know, I'm moving to Los Angeles, and would you like to make a record? And
wow.
I said, let me think about it, yes. And we...
All of 2 seconds. That's it. That's all you needed.
I mean,
well,
it was like...
you must have been a kid, though. How old were you?
19.
Wow.
Yeah, I was 19 right. or 20. Let's see, when was it, 69? I was probably 19 when I met him. And 20 when I started making the, you know, working on the record. Crazy.
Good.
young.
Well, the record lives on. That's the whole beauty of music. It just continues, you know.
It's amazing what, you know, I meet people all the time when I'm out, you know, doing the shows, and they say, you know, I loved that Sister Kate record, and you know they, and it's and not only, but you know the subsequent ones as well. But they're just people are just, you know, it when it reaches you at a, and you know at whatever phase of life you're at, you know, you just don't forget. It's like that, you know, I Want to Hold Your Hand. You know, I will never forget how that made me feel when I first heard it.
Yeah.
My brother Alex pointed it out to me, and he said, "Kate, you got to listen to this." And he sat me down in the car in the driveway, and the Beatles record was on the radio, and he said, "Listen to this," and it was "I Want to Hold Your Hand," and that was it. You know, the rest of my life. It's amazing what music will do for you.
Absolutely.
Anyway,
so the Beatles are such a small world, too. How you all connect together. You know, it's every single time. May, is it not true when we interview musicians who have been around, who have been from the golden era of music? You all kind of weave in and out of each other's lives.
Yeah,
true.
It's true. It's a small world, really. You know,
right.
It's funny how we. You know, you run into people that you just, you know, who when you get into a conversation, you realize, oh my God, I was in the same place as you, or we have friends in common, or you know, it's amazing how close the world really is, and
mm-hmm.
and it's wonderful to make those connections, you know, it's incredible that we're still out there making music and still growing with the music. You know, it doesn't stop. It doesn't, you know, it evolves. And
it definitely does.
You know, it's beautiful, really. You know, the human.
Do you ever, I don't think you could stop, Kate. I think it's just part of your DNA. I mean, have you ever reached a point where you've just said, okay, that's enough. I'm going to hang up my guitar. See?
No.
See? I don't have that, May.
I
don't have that.
I never do that. It's like, because, it, you know, it feels so good, but also every time that, you know, you do a show, you learn something new.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
the
true.
Audiences are all so special and darling, and they, and you know, you get so much from them that it's like, you know, you just gotta keep at it.
Well, you know, when you think about it, you know, like when I used to listen to the Beatles songs and John's and Paul's and whoever, they were given such a gift as songwriters that they were able to convey what they were feeling into words, and in short, to the point, understanding and being able to relate to everybody. So that, you know, it wasn't this long, you know, they were able to make these songs work. Like, you know, when you would say, give peace a chance, or I want to hold your hand. There were words that you could just relate to immediately, as opposed to some, you know, I could never write things like that. You know, I could never say, I could write like, that's why I think that's part of what made them, they were able, including George, they were able to make these songs and just relate to everyone, where everybody who couldn't write could feel, and they say, they said it for me, this is the way I feel,
mm-hmm.
that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and then they'll go on forever. They are the Beatles were truly the masters of relating to the world, what was going on.
Really were. What a phenomenon. What a magical phenomenon. And thank God we had them.
Yeah,
I mean,
because they changed our generation.
They
It wasn't just a band, like when they say, oh, yeah, you know, we outsold the Beatles and this. That. I said, you missed the point. It's not just selling.
Right.
They were able to take things and how they felt, like George with his transcendental meditation and his, you know, with Ravi Shankar and Bangladesh and the whole thing, and just change and did things that everybody modeled after them. They were able to do this. They were the first to do a lot of things. And they were going to change it. They changed it. Yeah, they changed the faith.
They were that whole, the whole thing, their whole thing just shepherded the rest of this, the, of our, of their, of our generation into, you know, life. They were the voice of this entire generation, and they helped us to see, like that whole bit of, that whole bit about the with the meditation.
Yeah,
I mean, how important
absolutely.
Was that? That was really so special for us to learn about that.
So true.
And,
hey, Kate, we're running down in time, and we want to play one of your songs before before as we're going out. So you want to tell us where anybody could find all your info? You know,
well, you know
what
I'm at katetaylor.com. They can write to me at kate@katetaylor.com. I'd love to hear from anybody that wants to write. Have you got any questions or comments? I'm all ears, and I'd love for you to for your listeners to come and see me in my shows, and I've got them all listed on my my website, katetaylor.com, but also I've got my Facebook page, Kate Taylor's Music, and I think my Kate Taylor Facebook page is accessible for everybody. And let's see, where else is my music? I've got some music on Amazon and iTunes. But if anybody wants to know anything about any of it, I can direct, put them in the right direction and to
awesome.
To listen to.
Yeah.
And I sent to, I guess you've got a number of things with, there to
You sent me a few downloads, but if you don't mind, Kate, I'm going to play you doing Home Again, because I think it's such a pretty song, and I think it's timely
right
now with everybody going in a million different directions. Yes. And
yes.
It's please come back. Keep us posted, because we always get such good, you know, feedback when you come on the show. It's, you have pure, simple, elegant music, and it's a joy to listen to you, and it's really a joy to have you on the show.
Well, it's a joy to talk with you all, and I look forward to seeing you both sometime down that beautiful road really soon.
Awesome.
Okay, Kate, I'll be seeing
Kate,
you
Kate, go
New
back
York.
And
I'll
enjoy
you.
Your sunshine. I'm getting my life raft ready here, so cheers.
Be thinking about you. Give me a call and let me know how things went.
Yes.
I will.
Okay?
I definitely will.
So nice
take
to
care.
Talk to you.
Okay, take
you
care.
Too.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye, sweetie.
Oh, God, I just love her. I love her.
Yeah,
she's
great.
Like, and she's, you know, we got to talk fast because I want to play the song.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Such a beautiful
rendition
of it.
But anyway, we'll be back. We'll speak when we speak. And you know what?
Yep.
Go see Kate Taylor. Talk to you guys later. Talk to you in a minute.
Contribute for Hurricane Harvey. All right. Cheers, May. I'll talk to you in a bit.
Cheers.
That was May Pang.
Yeah.
I'm Cynthia Nielsen. And here's Kate Taylor's Home Again. Have a safe evening.